Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Thursday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope it's going well. Hope you're having a great day. The Green Bay Packers continue their work in phase two of the offseason program. Rookies set to return later this week, actually starting next week, I believe, or over the weekend. But plenty of guys working out, doing their work, getting ready for a 2026 season, which, as we know, it's Super Bowl or bust, man. We have got to go win a championship. That's what 2026 is going to be all about. Good to see everyone in the comments. Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here. Please, I hope you'll get an opportunity at some point, either today or tomorrow, to check out my conversation with Billy Schmid on the latest Carry the G Radio, the podcast. Really a lot of fun today. Covered a lot of ground, bunch of topics, including the Packers being one of, if not the most hated team in the NFL. Packers fans, fan base, the team in general. Couple of different surveys were put out, and the Packers were hated by a whole bunch of folks all across the world, all across the country. I can't say I'm surprised, but Billy had a lot of great stuff to say about it. I'm just going to opine, as I always do, about the green and gold being the best, but I highly encourage everyone to check out that conversation. Always a lot of fun. And we touched on a bunch of news stuff, you know, the Lucas Van Ness fifth-year option, and we talked about Tyrod Taylor being brought into the fold. It is Tyrod Taylor, I have been dutifully informed. Not Tyrod, it's Tyrod. Tyrod Taylor, now member of the Green Bay Packers, set to back up Jordan Love. We covered that and a whole bunch more. Hope you'll check out that conversation. Today, I wanted to touch on, somewhat briefly, Edrin Cooper, a player who I think we all saw a ton of promise in his rookie season. Kid really exploded onto the scene with what looked like a lot of playmaking ability, a lot of upside, a lot of athleticism, explosiveness. Certainly got his hand on the ball a lot more his rookie year. Had an interception. Had, I think, 3.5 sacks. Get to 2025. I don't think he had as many opportunities. I don't think Halfley used him quite the same way. Didn't quite seem to unleash him as much as he did his rookie year. I think some of that was wanting to play more coverage, get more bodies in the throwing lanes, etc. But I do think Jonathan Gannon has an opportunity here to get more out of Edrin Cooper. And I think not just rushing the passer, though I do think that is something that he can do quite well if given the opportunity. And I love the idea of the trade for Zaire Franklin freeing up Edrin Cooper. You know, Franklin's going to be working the middle, their middle linebacker, so to speak, their Mike, although, you know, it is 3-4 principles here. They got two inside backers in a 3-4. But for the most part, I would suspect those guys are going to be the two linebackers on the field the majority of the time. I know last year, Jonathan Gannon ran a ton of dime, which would mean only one linebacker traditionally being on the field. I think you're going to see a whole hell of a lot more nickel in Green Bay, at least in 2026, much more so than you saw in Arizona under Gannon last year. And that principally will be driven by the fact that you got to get Edrin Cooper on the field and keep him on the field as much as possible. Because I do think if you allow Zaire Franklin to do the dirty work, do a lot of the physical stuff, especially in the run game, taking on blocks, taking on some of those interior guys, allowing Edrin to free flow sideline to sideline or get through the washing, get in the backfield and make those tackles for loss that we saw a ton of his rookie year. And we still saw some of it last season. I'm not going to say completely disappeared because that's certainly not true. But man, there is a lot more. A whole lot more in Edrin Cooper's tank. And I really think Jonathan Gannon has an opportunity to form this young man into a rising star, probably the type of player we all thought we were going to be getting his sophomore year, so to speak, in the NFL that never really materialized. And he played more games too. Don't forget, at the beginning of the season, you know, he was playing intermittently here and there his rookie year, but he really didn't get regular playing time until the back half of the season. And then you go to his second year, and right out of the gate, he played 16 out of the 17 games and started most of them, and that production just wasn't there. This big play ability seemingly disappeared. And I don't think it's the player. I think it was very specifically how he was utilized. So here's hoping Jonathan Gannon can unlock Edrin Cooper, because I think there is still a boatload of talent there. The sky is the limit. And I do think he can still be a star in the NFL. We'll see how it transpires throughout the season. I'm very anxious to get to training camp and see how often those two are together, or even they do maybe perhaps go to dime and keep Edrin Cooper as the lone linebacker on the field. I think that's a possibility as well. But that's the kind of thing I love looking for at training camp, and I cannot wait for training camp. And I hope you guys are coming out to training camp at some point as well. I'll be there throughout a lot of it, not the entirety of camp, but more camp than usual. I'll be there for a whole lot of time. So I hope you'll see you all there. We'll be doing events, meetups, Cheesehead TV, viewing parties, the preseason games. Be on the lookout for all of that, because it's going to be a ton of fun. Good to see everybody in the comments. Hello, how are you? Dennis is here, of course. Got Jason, how are you? Brandy, hello, Brandy, how are you? Before I get to your questions and comments, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our good friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is your home team for bone, joint, and muscle care. From sprains to surgeries, they've got the playbook to keep you moving. So when pain tries to take you out of the game, trust the experts who know how to win with ThetaCare Orthopedic Care. Proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? How we doing? What's the rumpus? Mike Witt starting us off. How you doing, man? Howdy, Nags. Any chance we bring Rasul back home? Think with the way Gannon wants to play, he could be a very good veteran pickup that wouldn't break the bank. I think I saw, was it Easton who put something out there this morning, having spoken to Rasul about a potential return and how he had been talking to a number of teams, and I do not doubt that is the case. I would be very surprised if the Packers went that route before week one. I think if they get through camp and they get into that first game and they don't like what they have, they don't like what they see, they don't see the progress and the potential that they thought they were going to have heading into the year, then maybe they make that call. There's also the data point that if he's not on the roster in week one, they don't have to guarantee his salary. So if he is still available after week one, maybe they make that call if they don't like what they see. You know, that's all a lot of ifs. Again, I'd be very surprised. I suspect he'll probably have a gig before then, but if he is still out on the street after week one, maybe they make that call. And of course, the other avenue here is if there's an injury, right? I think he is the exact type of guy you might give a ring if a corner or two go down and you've got to, you know, bring a body or two in, preferably with NFL experience. Yeah, maybe Rasul gets that call. I will say, as much as we love everything Rasul Douglas did in Green Bay in a Packers uniform, that final year in Buffalo was not great, you know? Certainly, Father Time is undefeated, and it would look like he is on the back end of a career that obviously thrilled a lot of Packers fans with a lot of great moments. But I do think, again, that would be much more in case of emergency break glass type of signing rather than something they would seek out prior to the start of the season. Danny G, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. It took 99 days for Gannon to give us a presser, only to tell us he doesn't know what our defensive scheme is. Shoot me now, Lieutenant Dan. Well, what did you want him to do, Dan? Get up there and go, hey, opponents, here's exactly what to expect. Come on, Lieutenant Dan. I mean, it worked pretty well for him in Philadelphia when he coordinated a Super Bowl defense. I think you just breathe. It's going to be okay. Rick Harris, how are you, sir? Enjoyed your visit with Grant today. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, great to be on the Bill Michaels show with Grant subbing in, and always great to talk to Grant. Had a really good time. Went out a couple times with Grant at the Combine. First time I've really got to spend a bit of time with him, and I'll tell you what, he's a sharp guy. He really knows his stuff, both as far as what he's looking at on the football field, but certainly in the media space. Rising star. Talk about Edrin Cooper. Grant's a rising star. No question about it. Joe, what's up? Pretty much nobody hates the Browns or their fans. I'm sure there are some AFC North folks who hate the Browns and their fans, but mostly, I think, yeah, you're probably right. It is more along a pity train than it is hate train with that collection. No doubt about it. Though, Utah, I think they're going to whip some up. They're going to whip up some hate. They actually go through with putting Deshaun Watson out there as their starting quarterback again. What a fucking joke. And I'll leave it at that. Evil Badger, how are you? How does Corey feel about the Notre Dame versus Wisconsin game being a 6:30 kickoff? I think he's fine with it. I'll tell you what, you know, you guys know Corey's not the greatest college football fan, but I know he adored, he had a ball at the LSU Badger game a couple years ago, years and years ago. I know he thought that was awesome. So, hey, could have been an 8:30 kickoff. Better at 6:30, I'll tell you that. All I know is I know the vibe will be dope. It's good. That the Notre Dame-Wisconsin game, I think it's September 6th, right? It's a Sunday. That's going to be cool. The vibes will be high, no doubt about it. Zoll, thanks for the super chat. Wife thinks Kroll's should sell their land to continue Titletown development, keep food trucks near. I love Kroll's, but see her point. Thoughts? Wow, that's a deep dive right there. Well, first of all, how dare she? That I think the city should have in the past. They could have, but now they can't. Should have designated Kroll's as a historic landmark. But now the Packers own that land. The Packers, if you'll notice, if you've been to Kroll's lately, there has been a bit of a makeover. That's because the Packers are in charge now, essentially. Yeah, there are like some kind of improvements to kind of bring it in line with some of the Titletown design, you know? So it's certainly, you know, one step closer to being part of Titletown. I think that is going to be the long-term plan. I wouldn't be surprised if they eventually just do exactly what you're suggesting and, you know, essentially get rid of it and put more developed Titletown-esque stuff there. But for the meantime, it is certainly going to be brought into the fold slowly. And I'm going to get as many Butterburgers and cheese curds as I can while it still exists. That's just me. Jerry, how are you, sir? Star Fox coming for Switch 2 made my whole week. Dude, I lost my mind when that dropped yesterday. I remember do a barrel roll when I was a wee lad at DePaul University right out of high school. That's how long I've been playing Star Fox. I'm talking, what, 1992 here, three, something like that? My God. Michael, how are you, sir? Their stadiums help, but there seems to be a culture of noise in Kansas City and Seattle that's not present in Green Bay. Do Green Bay fans need to be louder? See, this feels like a bit of an antiquated question or comment, and that's no shot at you because I do get this quite a bit, but man, I don't know if you saw the Bears game last year in Lambeau or some of the other kind of high stakes contests that have occurred at Lambeau Field over the course of the last couple of years. It gets loud. It is crazy. Now, maybe it doesn't project as well on television, but these big stake games, these divisional matchups, I know people are going to make their jokes about the gold package 2 years ago, but man, that Bears game last year was insane. It's loud when the game is important. Now, is it like that every game? Is it like that every single contest? Maybe not. Perhaps there is a bit of a lull at times, but it's not like it was. You certainly could have made that claim back in 2015, 16, what have you, because that was certainly the case. But it has really improved. And I do think some of that, you know, you have to hand it to LaFleur ultimately, because he kind of drove this, but game operations, trying to make sure that the crowd is more into the game and less into all the other ancillary stuff going on in the stadium. That has been a concerted effort. Now, it's been driven by football, and I think that's a good thing, but yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be. That is for certain. Where I will give it to you as far as Kansas City, especially, although it's hilarious to think like 2 years ago, remember when the Packers went into Seattle and the Go Pack Go chants broke out? A year later, they won the Super Bowl, but the year before, Packers fans took that stadium over. I mean, for all the bitching that we do or we hear about opposing fans in Lambeau, I mean, it happens in most stadiums, except in Kansas City. Have you noticed, like, you watch any Kansas City game, it is a red out. Like, everyone's in red, especially those night games, the nationally televised games. Man, you don't see no Bronco orange. You know what I mean? Like, it is red. So they got that on lock. But yeah, the loudness thing, it's not as bad as it used to be. I will admit, yes, there are games, certain games, where maybe it could stand to be a little louder, but I don't think it's been the issue that it's historically been portrayed as. E4, what's up, man? How many sports psychologists will Gutekunst have to hire to help the players deal with going undefeated this season? You always come up with some really good questions there, E4. You know, I think that he'll let them be driven by the angst of going undefeated and allow that to permeate into the offseason where they try to repeat an undefeated season. How's that? Soder, thanks as always, buddy. Feeling very positive about the Packers because Jordan Love is going to explode this year. That said, I will hate this team after preseason game one. Can we talk about that for a second? Can we remember how everybody was so upset after the Jets preseason game last year and how little that meant to anything when it came to the actual regular season? Can we bottle that memory and kind of hold on to it throughout preseason this year, please? Please, I'm begging you. Soder, come on, join me. I know you can do it. That's my plea to you. Brandy, how are you? Need more out of the D-line to get exceptional linebacker play. Safety, linebacker, and pass rush is there. Use it, damn it. That you are not wrong, and that is 1,000,000,000% an excellent observation as far as keeping those linebackers clean and allowing Edrin Cooper to do that sideline-to-sideline stuff and shoot gaps and make plays behind the line of scrimmage. You're not wrong. You are not wrong. They certainly have to be more consistent up front. I'm not going to say better, quote-unquote, because I do think there was good line play at times in front of the guys last year, but you're not wrong in that it has to be way more consistent, especially in the run game. That's where, you know, they had their issues. But yeah, you're spot on there, Brandy. You got to be a lot cleaner. Keep those guys a lot cleaner, and you will see good things follow without a doubt. Jeff says, our team is stacked, but there are other stacked teams too. No question. I mean, that's just the nature of the NFL, right? And it also points to what we saw last year. Who made the deep runs? The healthy teams. That is what the NFL is at this point. You know what I mean? It's a war of attrition, and they want to add another game because that sounds like a great idea. But it is about how you manage your roster with injuries and who you're calling up for the practice squad, who you might sign from or pick up from waivers, how you fill those holes in your depth because injuries have struck at a certain position or across the board, etc. That is more than anything else. Everyone talks about the off-season program stuff and building the roster in the off-season, and that's certainly a huge component. But what you do in season to manage the roster is just as, if not more, important in today's NFL. Because keeping those bodies fresh and having bodies at all, December into January, playing their best, in their best shape, goes a long fucking way to being able to make a run. We've seen it year after year in the modern NFL. That is where we are at. Mike Wazowski, how are you, man? Do you think Matt LaFleur's extension is really year-to-year, in effect, possible trade slash offsetting money, where he could be traded if we don't at least win the division this year? He would still be in demand. Mike, I think that's the kind of thing that would undoubtedly have been discussed internally prior to signing the deal. I doubt it contains any of that ultimately. I think Ed Policy is committed to Matt LaFleur. I think he wants to let him finish this thing out and go win a championship in Green Bay with this group, this roster, this core that we talk about. But, you know, it'd be foolish to say, no, absolutely. There's no possible way that's in there. Obviously, no one really knows. We haven't seen any reporting around it, but I suspect not. But again, that's the kind of thing you would have been talking about in the formational stages of figuring out what the contract's going to look like. But again, never say never, but I would be surprised. I feel like Matt is Ed's guy, and he's going to back him hell or high water. And I suspect he said it's a commitment, right? A significant commitment. I think it's got to be at least a 3-year deal. I think the first 2 years are the most pivotal, but I think the extension is a true one, would be my guess. Jeff Jones, thanks, sir. All I want for Christmas is an NFC North title. I hear you, man. I hear you. It is about time, about damn time, they get back to winning the division. There is no doubt about that. Certainly, I think adding veterans should help, but they have to be playing a hell of a lot more consistent down the stretch, and they have to do a much, much better job of closing games out. They had control of so many games late last year. Some they closed out, a bunch they didn't, and that was the difference. If even one of those games goes another way, they win that division. Got to make the most of those opportunities when they present themselves. Close it out, get the W, win the division. Oh, this is great. Did Bukowski really say Empire is overrated? Yes. Yes, he did. You know, I know you guys know Banky and his rants about Bukowski because of his Packers coverage, which I may not agree with everything he does, but I think Peter is one of the hardest working, certainly does the work when it comes to his coverage of the Packers, comes to certain conclusions and stands behind them and like, look, Godspeed, I get the passion. I'm all in. Great stuff, Peter. You know what the fuck you're talking about when it comes to Star Wars and The Empire Strikes Back. Give me a flipping break. Star Wars and Empire are art because Gary Kurtz was still involved. Once Gary Kurtz saw the Return of the Jedi script and was like, Ewoks, another Death Star, I'm out. The whole thing became commerce. Now, lucky for them, they got Tony Gilroy involved and created Andor, and that became art. That's art right there. But art and Star Wars have not been bedfellows since Gary Kurtz said, see ya. And Empire is the peak of that art. Overrated my ass. All right, buddy, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, quick note. I know some of you have not been getting the emails, the alerts for happy hour. Apologize for that. I know Patreon in particular is working on switching over their email server, so there have been some hiccups there. But the information is always posted either on the YouTube page posting here for members. If you are a Carry the G Club member, it will appear for you. Or if you're a Patreon member, just go to the Patreon page and scroll back, and you will see a post with all the information each and every week. So I apologize for some of the emails not going out, but we are having happy hour tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. Hope to see you there. Everyone else, please hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.